please welcome Sally to share the word this morning. Sally Bates.
You are dismissed. Not the body, just the youth. Is this awful loud? Or I know a lot of people complain they can't hear me, so we told Tyler to turn it up this morning, but I don't want it to be overbearing and yucky. Are y'all okay with this? Okay. John, would you kick that scripture up there, Revelation 12:11? Thank you. This morning, actually all week, I've been really vacillating on what to bring to you this morning, because what I felt led to bring, I just feel like y'all probably already know this, and it's just a reiteration of something that you've already absorbed. But then I realized that I myself have let this truth slip away, sometimes more than others. But hopefully this morning we'll get a little bit of a kickstart to get back into something that I think is extremely important to the body. And that is this word that says they overcame him. Who's him? Satan. His name is Ha-Satan. That means the overcomer. The accuser of the brethren. Sometimes he becomes the overcomer if we let him, right? I've done that a few times too, but he's the accuser of the brethren. And they overcame him. The body of Christ overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. But this one gets left out. Over and over and over, I've heard we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But there's a third part of that, and it is that we do not hold our lives dear unto the death. In this dispensation of time, I get a little panicky sometimes, and it usually happens right after I watch the news. I was coming home from town here not too long ago, and it was a horrible trip. I don't know how many of you guys, I have to be prayed up to go to town and get groceries. I don't mean a little bit, I mean a lot. And I was at Walmart, and it was just one of those days. It was everybody was pushing and shoving and growling and biting everybody, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. And on the way home, I was thinking about things that I had seen on the news this morning and that morning, and I just said, you know, Lord, it's getting really ugly down here. It's just getting ugly down here. And the Holy Spirit said, you think it's bad now? Wait till I take my spirit out of here. I almost ran off the road. I kid you not. I was like, what would this be like without those of us who hold the light within us, making a stand, preaching the gospel, sharing the word, praying for people? I can't imagine. I don't want to imagine. But this scripture came back to me very strong. So this morning, I felt led to ask you, what is your testimony? What is your testimony? You know, a lot of times in the past, I was raised up where if somebody asked you to share your testimony, God help us, we'd get up and we'd share for 15 minutes about what the devil did to us for 5 years. And then we'd say, but God, it would be I was a sinner and I did all these horrible things and all this bad stuff happened to me. Oh, but then I became a Christian and now all this good stuff happens to me. That's not our testimony. That's not your testimony. Let go of that, because this morning I want to tell you what our testimony really is. Let's look at Numbers 17, 8 through 10. I preached a little bit on this Wednesday, a couple of Wednesdays ago. The Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant, is called both the Ark of the Covenant and the Ark of the Testimony. Why do you suppose it's the Ark of the Covenant and the Ark of the Testimony? Because our testimony is our covenant with God. When we share Christ with anybody, our first heart's desire should be to share with them there is a new covenant. Let go of all of your past. Let go of all of the testimony of what the devil's done to you, and you are an ark of the new covenant. The word ark means a vessel or sanctuary that serves as protection against extinction. That's why Noah's ark wasn't just called a boat. It was an ark. It was a vessel, a sanctuary that serves as protection against extinction. There's scripture in the Bible that says that the word of God can be completely lost in one generation. Are we seeing some of that happen right now? Things that my generation absolutely was appalled at unfolding and happening. I mean, I thought my mom was going to have a seizure the first time she saw Elvis Presley. I'm not kidding. It was like, no, that's evil. God bless Elvis Presley if he was here today, because at least he kept his clothes on. Heavens to Betsy. You can't even watch commercials without going, oh. What is tolerated today is slipping and slipping and slipping. What is your testimony? You have a covenant with the Most High God. That is your testimony. That the testament of his promises, of his healing, his love, his mercy, his grace, those are housed within you because you have a covenant with the Most High God through Jesus Christ. That's our testimony. And it should be the one that we are quick to share. Hebrews 8:7-13. Our sister from Mesa recently shared, to honor something or someone is to not treat it as common. That hit me so deep. We have an uncommon relationship with our Father. We have an uncommon Savior. We have an uncommon relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living God who has taken up residence in us. And some days, I act like that's just common. I've been walking with the Lord enough that I'm used to it. I expect it. I've seen miracles. I know he's a miracle-working God. I've been in groups that laid hands on blind women, and in half an hour, they stood in the back of the room and identified people at the front. That's not common, but it happens. We should expect that, but not to treat it common. People get saved. I've seen a lot of people get saved, and it's like, well, that's awesome, yay. Okay, come on in, sit, be fed, be nourished. God bless you. That is an uncommon thing to have happen for someone. It changed my life. It changed your life. We get comfortable with it, and all of a sudden it's common. But it's uncommon. This new covenant that we walk in is uncommon. We expect. We presume. What is your testimony? Do you have an uncommon testimony? Or do you have one that just says, well, back in the day, when I was not before I got saved, I was, and then you go on for 15 minutes about what you were. Oh, but God. But see, that's the but God. That should be the first thing out of our mouth. But God, because most people who know you, they already know you. They know what you were like back then. So it should be but God. But God made available to me this new covenant of grace and mercy. I love that song. It's this new covenant of grace and mercy that does not excuse us. Lee called it a bubble bath of grace. And then he said, but you got to get out of it sometime. Sooner or later, you're going to get pruny looking. Yeah, and we can get pretty pruny looking if we sit in that bubble bath of grace. We have a purpose. I woke up 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the first thing that hit my brain was, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? And then I got out of bed and went, well, that was weird. I've always known there's a reason for me being here. But see, then I realized there's a difference between a reason and a purpose. We have a purpose. What's your testimony? What's your testimony? Second Samuel 9, 7, and 11. And I'm going to look into verse 13 also. Because we've learned a lot about this new covenant of grace. But I think a lot of us grew up with grace just meant you're forgiven. And so we just kind of, that's where we were. But the other day I was watching Kenneth Copeland, which I don't do very often. And he shared something that raised the hair on the back of my neck. And he brought to light the word chesed. I want you to write it down. C-H-E-C-E-D. It means mercy. And when you capitalize the C, it means mercy with favor. See, the Hebrew changes one thing. And it adds something precious. Chesed. So that covenant was first seen in 2 Samuel, where Jonathan got involved. Jonathan understood the covenant of family and love. And eventually it comes down to this man named Mephibosheth, who was crippled when he was very young and taken out of the realm that he was raised in, and he grew up outside of everything that God held dear. Have you ever been there? I have. For way too long, probably. Way longer than God wanted me to, I know that. Oops, hello. Mephibosheth was called by King David for one reason. Because he said, is there anybody, is there even one person out there that I can show love to? this chesed covenant that he had walked in with David, with Jonathan, with Saul. They were all involved in this covenant called chesed. It means family. Mercy to be restored to the family. Beyond grace, when they called Mephibosheth, he said, this is my cowgirl vernacular, y'all get in here. Y'all get in here. Come in and eat with me. Come sit down at my table. I got a bedroom for you. You can spend the night. We'll talk till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Come on. Come on down. Get in here. And stay here. Chesed. Mercy with favor. Oh, Father. Uncommon relationship. Get in here. Get in here. And we get used to it, don't we? We get in here. We come on Sunday mornings and we worship and it feels so good. And sometimes we come on Wednesday nights, or sometimes we come for prayer, or we go to somebody's house and we have some fellowship and we become accustomed to it. But it's uncommon. You know, I've had people come to my house, and I saw them coming up the driveway, and I wanted to lock the door and pretend like I wasn't home. You're laughing because you know it's true. And then I've seen people coming up the driveway. I met them coming. I threw open my door. I was waiting on the step. Get in here. Get in this house. I haven't seen you in forever. See, that's that covenant promise, that relationship that it speaks of in the prodigal son. You've been a prodigal son? What's your testimony? What's your testimony? That you were a prodigal son? How about what happened to the prodigal son when he got home? That's my testimony. God sent Jesus and he met me at the door and he said, y'all get in here. Get in here now. I love you. I want to talk to you. I want you to talk to me tonight. We're going to be friends. We're going to be friends. That's uncommon. That is not common, and we treat it as though it is. This is not common. It is an uncommon book that was written by the Holy Spirit through the hands of faithful men and women. It's uncommon, and we treat it as common. Most homes that you go into, there's a Bible somewhere, if you look a little bit. I've been in most of the homes that I've ever been in my entire life, there's a Bible somewhere. Very few times has there not been a Bible somewhere. But it's common. It's not common. It's an uncommon, impressive way to look at God. Because when you read it, it impresses itself on your heart. That's how he writes his word on our hearts. With this uncommon grace, this uncommon truth. And more and more and more as days go by, it's common. It's mocked. It's laughed at. It's scorned. It's burned. It's torn up and thrown in the trash. This is, I was at the zoo with my little great grandkids here not too long ago. We got by the monkey cage, and they were all like, ha-ha, yeah, there's a monkey, and then they went on. And something stopped me, and I stood there, and there was one little monkey sitting back on a shelf, and they had given him a magazine. And he was ripping that to pieces. I mean, not just ripping. I mean, he was ripping that thing to pieces like he was mad. He ripped pages, and then he'd go back and rip the pages. And he'd squeak at it. I thought, that is strange. But this morning, I'm thinking, do people do that sometimes? Is this become so common that, well, I don't like that page. I'll just tear it out. Oh, I don't really like what that one says. Now, let me tell you, there are some places in the Bible I don't like what it says. Because it goes clear into here and pokes me really, really hard. What's my testimony? What's my testimony? I want to look at what's in the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark was sealed and the mercy seat was placed on top, there were three things put in that ark. In the ark, and remember, what's the definition of the word ark? A vessel or sanctuary that serves as protection against extinction. The rod of Aaron, manna, and the stone tablets of the law. All of those things placed under the mercy seat. Thank you, Jesus. But let me tell you, have you ever read about the ark and the manna and the stone tablets much? And why did he pick those things to put in the ark to keep from extinction? Well, if you kick those over into our new covenant under grace, under mercy, totally wiped free from sin and shame, here's what kind of pierced my heart about that. The rod represents supernatural life. That rod was used for some interesting things. It was thrown down on the ground, turned into a serpent, and then picked up and returned to being a stick. It was used to proclaim curses. But it also budded, blossomed, and bore fruit just like that. When we're born again and we're given this supernatural life, we are supposed to bud, blossom, and bear fruit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in and those things begin to manifest, the fruit of the Spirit begins to manifest instantly. You feel different. People say, something's different about you. Now, I wish that I immediately and that quickly changed into what I think God wants me to be, but that seems to be a process. It takes me a little longer to bud and blossom and bear fruit. But I know it's in here. It's a supernatural, uncommon experience that brings forth the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then I treat it as common. Well, everybody needs to be kind. We need to do random acts of kindness. Yes, we do. But why? Why? Because that's a part of your testimony. The manna. That was God's provision. Every day. If they hoarded it, it rotted. And then after a while, their belly ached. Yeah, now we're getting kind of tired of this stuff. Can we have something else? He said, yeah, here's some quail. But what did he put in the ark? Not the quail. not old dead quail that rotted, the manna that was put in the ark. What is the meaning of ark? A vessel or sanctuary that serves as protection against extinction. Is God's provision for you keeping you from extinction? And we go to the refrigerator, we have a snack, we carry on. I go to the grocery store, pray my way through, get out, and it's common. Is it common? How many people are there on the face of this planet that have no food? They have no spiritual food. They're starving to death spiritually. But the provision of God is kept. And then the Ten Commandments. We lived our life by those for years, didn't we? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. And then if your folks were like mine, when you missed one, you have to go to your room and repent, because if you don't, you're probably going to go to hell. And then there was times when I was going to hell anyway, so I didn't really care. Like, if I'm going, I'm having fun on the way. Treat it as common. Common. But it's not. It's uncommon. And the mercy seat over all of those is our new covenant. What's our testimony? What is our testimony? It should be how you got to be a vessel of honor. Not what kept you from being one. What made you a vessel of honor? That's really hard for me to absorb. Because when I look in the mirror, a vessel of honor is not the first thing that goes through my mind. Should it be? I said, should it be? If I believe wholeheartedly with the conviction of my very soul that I am an ark of the new covenant, that I am a vessel carrying this new covenant to keep it from extinction, then that should be what I see. That should be what I feel. Is that my testimony? Got real quiet. But it got real quiet in here, too, when the Lord started unfolding this to me, when I said, what's my purpose? And between hearing that, what is my purpose, and hearing that message about honor, all of this started building and building and building. And I pray that it is settled in my soul deep enough, and that my spirit is so full of it, that that's what I think about Sally Bates. She's a vessel honor. And she better act like it. Now, I can't do that without help. If I could do it without help, we would have done it all along, wouldn't we? But when we have that help, when the Holy Spirit has been given to us and we have all the help we need, that's when we have to say, I will honor. I will not treat as common. I will honor what God has put in me. I will not treat it as common. I was sitting, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago in the early morning prayer. Probably been more like a month. But I heard the Holy Spirit. I was just comfortable. I was enjoying being in the presence of God. I was enjoying the sense of prayer and the worship in the background. And I was thinking, I love this church. I just love being here. I'm comfortable here. I like it. And the Holy Spirit said, you have become so accustomed to my presence, you are missing what I am doing. I was like, what? I was treating it as common. Being able to come to church, we treat it as common. Oh, Sunday morning. I don't know. I really am kind of tired this morning. It's been a long week. Do we have to go to church this morning? And sometimes he says, well, why not? And sometimes I'm the one that says, yeah, we probably better. But even in that, it's just so common. Because you can. How uncommon is that? What a humongous blessing that is. And we who've been blessed to be born in America, we treat it as though it's our right. That's our privilege. We don't honor that time as set apart, sanctified, for me to feed myself spiritually, for me to go get some of that manna, to get stirred up so I'm blossoming and bearing fruit. People have told me, well, I don't have to be in church to be saved. I don't have to be in church all the time to know that I have a God and that Jesus died. And they go right on, da 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 da. And I'm like, well, good, I'm glad. Praise God for that. Let me tell you, if I'm out of church for about a month, my little potty mouth starts coming back real quick. Especially if I get in a room full of my old buddies. If they can stay out of church and still hold their salvation, God bless you. I got to be here. I need that crutch, if you want to call it that. I'll take it, thank you very much. Because without it, I get a little wobbly. Our testimonies is something that we have to learn to speak. It's not just what's written, it's what I speak. Just like in days of old, when they'd say, why don't you share your testimony? And I'd get up and I'd share my testimony. And I don't think one person ever got saved by listening to my testimony. Very, very doubtful. But when the word was spoken, when the word came out of my mouth, then I've seen people get saved. I've seen people's lives turned upside down. Are you the ark of healing? Or when you don't feel good, is Kenneth Copeland or Andrew Womack on your speed dial? I need prayer. Call them up. Have you done your portion? Did you stand on the word? Did you speak, I am the healed of Jesus Christ? I am the ark of healing. The enemy has no place in here. I overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and I don't hold my life so dear that I cannot lay it down. It doesn't mean I have to die, but it does mean I have to lay my life down and replace my choice, my life, with something of honor. Of honor. Are you the ark of peace? Or are you in constant turmoil with what's wrong in your life? God's not answering the prayers that you've prayed. And they were godly prayers. And they believe, you believe, we all believe, that it's a godly thing that we're praying. And we're not seeing it happen. Do you still have that peace that passes understanding? That God is able? Are you the ark of joy? Those are all fruit of the Spirit. In that rod, that blossoming, bearing fruit under the mercy seat. Not because we have to, not because we're earning it, because it's in here. And I honor that. I give honor to the gifts and the Holy Spirit in me, the fruit that he put in here. I honor that. Not that it's common. It's not common for me. Especially between here and Prescott when somebody runs me off the highway. It's not common for me to be kind and prayerful. But I'm learning. Bless you. You want that piece of road so bad, you can have it, honey. God bless you. I pray that you get where you're going in such a hurry. Thank you, Jesus, for that. It didn't happen because I decided to do that. Your new covenant holds all you need to produce and be what God has called us to be. I want you to look at 2 Peter 1:3. I'm going to read three translations. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. New Living Translation says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. The English Standard Version says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. What's your testimony this morning? Is it changing? When I asked you 40 minutes ago, what's your testimony? What was the first thing that popped into your mind? Has it changed? Has it changed? What's your testimony? Are you an ark of the new covenant? Are you a sanctuary to keep it from extinction? I don't call and ask for prayer until I've done everything I can do. And I'm pretty careful who I call for prayer. Because I've been on prayer chains, which were nothing more than a gossip session for a bunch of women who wanted to know what everybody else was doing so they could say, I know something you don't know. We laugh, but is that sad? Is that just heartbreaking? I don't give up and let the enemy have my finances just because I don't have everything I want. I have all I need for today. I am a good steward of all he has provided, and I speak life to our checkbook. I speak life to my finances. Blessing that unmerited favor to said. Come in here, sit down, eat with me. You know, it says that Mephibosheth stayed crippled. And I kind of wonder if that wasn't left there so that he says, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to serve the dinner. You don't have to cook the meal. You don't have to clean up the mess. Thank you, Jesus. Just get in here. Sit down. We're going to eat. We're going to talk. We're going to bless each other. We're going to have fellowship. And I don't have to do anything except respond to that and what? Give it honor. Give it honor. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. that new covenant, the word of our testimony. What's our testimony? I am an ark of the new covenant, and I will honor that. I will let that arise in me. I will let that bubble up and come out of me just by responding. Do I still relive my past as a constant reminder that I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? I used to. I'm getting over that. Because guess what? It isn't about me anyway. It's about Jesus. My imperfections are obvious to anybody who knows me, especially my family. My imperfections are glaring in their face most of the time. But is that my testimony this morning? No. Do I have family problems? Of course. Is there anybody here who does not have any family problems? You get to preach next Wednesday. Because we all want to know how you do that. But in spite of that, I honor what God is doing in me, what God is creating in me. This new life, this new creation, this new person that looks like the old one, but guess what? It ain't. And I might fall and bust my nose once in a while, but I am not a hypocrite. My heart is hard after God. I want my life to be a testimony to my God. And there's only one way that happens, and that is if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, by faith, by grace. Because he is benevolent. He is an uncommon God. And because of that, we are uncommon people. That's your testimony. You are uncommon people. You are a peculiar people, is what the word calls you. You're a bunch of peculiar people. And that's a good thing. And that does not mean that you look like a bunch of hicks who live in a trailer trash place and God has mercy on you. That means you rise up and you be who God called you to be. I don't care where you live. I don't care who your family is. I don't care what you think of yourself. You are uncommon people. You're uncommon people. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became an ark of the very presence of God. The very presence God, because that's who the Holy Spirit is. It's the third person of the triune God. He had just walked right in and said, guess what? I'm coming in. And we are going to eat. We are going to talk. We are going to have communion. I'm coming in, and I ain't leaving. Because I said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we rest in that, knowing I've done all I can do. I have accepted him. And the rest is up to him. And that's my testimony. I did all I could do. But Jesus came in, changed my life. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in me, and I am an uncommon being. And then we have the ability to look at people and say, and if you want some of that, come on in. Y'all get in here. We make a big deal out of it. Y'all, you have to come up front and let us pray for you. We're going to make a big deal out of it. We have to have a head count. We have to put on the news flash. So many people got saved. Well, guess what? You didn't do anything anyway. Wasn't anything we did. It was all what Jesus did. The minute we take us out of the picture, then it becomes what's supposed to be testimony. y'all get in here. Y'all get in here. You're invited to supper. You're invited to fellowship. You're invited to communion. You're invited to all that good stuff. And all you have to do is say, okay, I'm coming. Okay, I'm coming. Y'all get in here. Sean, would you come and close us in prayer, please? And y'all have my permission to call Chad and tell him, don't let her back up there again.
Do you want to come up?